one of the greatest privileges I've ever had of things that to be able to do is to teach class. And I don't mean teach adult class, I mean teach children's class. A few quarters ago, Stephanie and I taught the first and second graders, and we did that for a couple quarters together. The first quarter, the class numbers were low, and there were a lot of weeks we'd just have one student, and it was Kylie Martin, and that would be our student in our class, two teachers, one student. A little awkward, but it was okay. We made it. It was great. It was wonderful. The next quarter, we had a full class. We had Briley was one of the kids in there. Abby was in there. We had weeks where we could only talk about, you know, the who won or lost the Saturday before in football, because the kids would get to, they would have a fight about to break out. So we'd have to kind of squash some of that discussion. But teaching children, stop and think for a minute. Teaching children in class, knowing that their parents are in class learning about God, and you're teaching these young minds about God, is there anything better? I mean, if there are things better than that, it's a short list. I want you to know that we have a quarter coming up in 2 weeks. If you look in your bulletin, we still need teachers. A couple quarters ago, on the way to church, Abby asked me, she says, am I going to have a class? I said, what do you mean are you going to have a class? Well, am I going to have a teacher? I said, what do you mean are you going to have a teacher? Well, I know my class doesn't have a teacher yet. And it was a real powerful experience for me to think, I don't know that she was as sad as I was, but to think of a young mind worried about, am I going to have a teacher? I want to brag on our teachers. We have some wonderful, wonderful teachers. I tell you, Dale Griffin is a great teacher. I took some pictures here a while back and just snuck in the classes for a little bit. We have some wonderful teachers. And we've had, Mary Martin is a wonderful teacher. Janet Richardson is a great teacher. We have great teachers. And we have teachers who it's not easy to teach. Sue Emerald, when she was able, was barely able. If you think you have struggles in your life, talk to Dale a little bit about struggles in your life. But to be able to teach a kid's class is a privilege. And I just want to boost us and have you take a look at the bulletin and see. You may feel like you can't do it on your own. We can help you with lesson plans. We can help you with crafts. Anything you need help with, I encourage you to get a friend and sign up to teach a class for next quarter. Imagine living your life in a communist country. We have Anita Yearout has lived and spent some time in China. We may have others who spent some time in a communist nation. I can't speak to the amount of that I cherish and appreciate our men and women who have put their life on the line and even given their life so you and I could have the freedom to come in here this morning unharassed. And it is a privilege, and it is something for us to remember. John 15:11, I've told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. This is what Jesus said. He said, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. Who would you die for? Are there any people in your life that you would die for? I would imagine that we would all die for some people. When you have a family member, especially a wife, maybe a husband, or children who are undergoing pain and suffering. You know, when Stephanie's had a couple surgeries, when your loved one is in pain and suffering, I would have gladly taken her place if I could. Our daughters have had minor problems, but significant to them at the time. Elizabeth was having some bowel trouble and had to have a colonoscopy. She was worried about that. I would have gladly taken her place. Sydney broke her arm. A few years ago, when your child has a broken bone, as a father, you wish it was yours and that you could take that from them. Abby had an earring get infected, her ear severely at one time. I would die for my wife and children. There's no question there if it came to that. Who would you die for? Would you die for your enemies? I had an enemy at one time that I couldn't pray for. I had to work at it to where I finally could pray for and finally could forgive. But there was a time I couldn't even pray for this person. I could say their name, but I couldn't say anything good, that God would have anything good happen to him. Well, you know, would I die for them? No. I wanted someone to die, but it wasn't me. You know, for your enemies, would you die for them? Would you die for strangers? Would you die for acquaintances? Sometimes I wonder if we really understand sacrifice. Like many mothers, Patricia Gilbert of Hanford, California, never could have predicted the path her children would take in life. She says, "I never would have thought it would be so centered on military." Her two sons, Aaron and Marcus, and daughter-in-law Candace, are on active duty as corporals in the Marine Corps. A third son, Lance Corporal Jason Daniel Hill, was killed in June during a battle in Afghanistan, and he was also a Marine. She says it's a fear that always exists in the back of your mind, but you never really get it until it happens. Jason, age 20, died while saving his entire platoon during an enemy attack in the village of Kunyak in Afghanistan. The platoon had been surrounded by Taliban fighters who were attacking with machine guns, rockets, and grenades. It was basically five Taliban fighters for every Marine. The commanding officer told me, she says, that Jason was manning a machine gun and told the rest of his men to get out of there. He was the youngest in his platoon. All the other men were married and had children, and he knew they had wives and kids to make it home to. She said, knowing that he, Gilbert said that knowing he was going to die, Jason turned back toward enemy forces, used the last of his ammo before being shot in the neck just below the helmet line. Do we understand sacrifice? What have you given up for the sake of someone else so that they could have? That's sacrifice. I want us to think about the two greatest sacrifices that were ever made, and they do not compare to anything any human has ever sacrificed. And so we may talk about, we may remember and think and appreciate and honor men and women who've sacrificed for our freedom, and we should. But when you compare that to God's sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, it's nowhere close. How much of a sacrifice was Calvary for God? Well, look at Matthew 27, verse 45. Jesus has been hanging on the cross for a number of hours. Darkness has come over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, first of all, understand Jesus is quoting from Psalm 22. So these are Jesus' words, but they're not originally his words. He's quoting from Psalm 22. Did God forsake Jesus? I think we're better off talking about what we know, and what we know and can assume pretty confidently is that Jesus felt forsaken. Now, was he blaming God? I'm not saying he was blaming God, but he felt something in that arena. Otherwise, why would he say this? It's more likely the truth that God turned away from Jesus at some point in Jesus' suffering. I've mentioned before, some of you remember me talking about Abby's ear when it was infected. She had her ears pierced, and at some point, one of them became infected on the back side of the earlobe. And so front side looked fine, but the back side, there was a pocket, a ball of infection that had developed. It was very painful to her. So when we finally discover, we're trying to treat it, we realize the infection has to come out. This has to come out. And it's very sensitive to the touch. And so Stephanie worked on that, getting it out of her ear. But that whole process was painful. And Abby, it just got worse and worse. And so I'm drawn in, wishing I wasn't, but I'm drawn in, and my job is to hold her still while Mom does this to her ear. And while she screams. And so I hold, Stephanie does her thing, and Abby screams. And at first it was bad. And then it just got worse. Because it's a repeated process. And she screams, no, stop, stop, stop. And this just continues. And it gets more emotional. And as parents, we knew this has to happen. There's no choice here. It has to happen. Either happens this way, or we go to a doctor and it's still painful, and it has to happen one way or the other. And as that's happening, it gets so bad for me, I can't cry. I can't let Abby see me cry. She's already suffering the most. And so, but as a father, as a parent, you cry when your kids hurt that bad. And there was a point that I physically turned away and mentally, as much as I could, checked out while I'm holding my child as she's screaming. Did God forsake Jesus? I don't know. But did he turn away? I think he did. Did God cry when Jesus was on the cross? Well, God's not physical, he's spiritual. Did he cry tears? No, that's physical. He's spiritual. Did he cry? I think he cried. I think this is evidence that he cried. God suffered. He feels emotions. God feels jealousy. He feels anger. He feels love. He feels compassion. And surely the Father is weeping in heaven while his Son is on the cross. Now you picture that. What are the angels doing? Because the angels and God interact. I would imagine the angels are trying to comfort God. But how much comfort can you receive when your child is suffering like Jesus was? How much did God sacrifice for us? I just wanted us to understand and be reminded that it wasn't just Jesus that sacrificed, but our God suffered greatly. For us. But let's think about how much of a sacrifice Calvary was for Jesus. Well, you look in the garden. Jesus is in the garden the night before. He knows what's going to happen. He knows they're going to come for him to get him. He asked his apostles to watch for him. Jesus kneels down and he prays. And he asks God to remove the cup. He asks God if there's a way that he would not have to go to the cross. And he asked that, verse 42, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus was begging God, please, God, please, Father, please, Dad, make it stop. He begged him. And he had a choice. Jesus had a choice. The Father had a choice. But God said, we have to do this. And Jesus said, okay. Jesus went like a lamb to the slaughter. But don't think he wasn't in anguish doing it. And don't think it didn't cost Jesus great, great anguish to go to the cross for us. And honestly, I can only even try to understand the physical suffering. I can't completely understand the spiritual suffering of being a sinless, divine deity and in coming in contact with sin as Jesus did on the cross. I don't understand that. I don't comprehend it. But it had to be a part of his suffering. What is the greatest thing that you've sacrificed for God? You know, is coming to class or coming to worship really a sacrifice? For most of us, it's not a sacrifice. For some, it's difficult, but we come because we want to come. If we can't come, we suffer because we miss being here. If you've been away from your church family very long, you miss it. If you don't miss it, you're not doing something right. You're missing out. But what do we really sacrifice for God? This really isn't a sacrifice. When we give of the offering, is that really a sacrifice? If you want to know if you're giving contribution-wise is a sacrifice, consider what you've done without in order to give. That's a sobering thought. Have I done without anything in order to give what I've given God, or have I given God and still had anything I wanted? That's a deep thought. Ponder on that. What have we sacrificed to God? We serve a God who sacrificed the most precious things to Him. So stop and think for a minute, what is precious to you? What do you really value? So start with family members. Family members that are close, that are, of course, near and dear to you. Maybe a spouse, children, parents, siblings. My family is very precious to me, valuable to me. I go down a list of those things. If I'm ranking things, you know, I get down to friends, and then we kind of shift over to non-living things. I mean, there's another living thing, but it's Leon. He's like a family member, but he's kind of like the family member that sometimes if he went away, it'd be all right. He's on the list. He's just further down the list to me. But, you know, wedding ring is a valuable thing to me. A class ring that Dad gave me a few years back is valuable to me, precious to me. Who would you sacrifice those things for? Would you sacrifice a family member for a stranger? Would you sacrifice a family member for an enemy? You stop and realize that we serve a Savior who suffered terrible torture and suffered in His death to save our souls when we were His enemies. Now, why would God do that? Why would Jesus do that? Why would He die for His enemies? What kind of love is that? How do you explain the perfect divine dying for the sinful mortal? I feel like I owe my parents. And I would think that's something we all feel. I feel like I owe my parents. Knowing what they've done for me in my life, in my past, knowing from infancy, being a parent myself, knowing what all you do for your children, I feel like I owe them. Once in a while, my mother, before I say what I'm about to say, let me tell you, my mother's a loving person. She's wise. She is classy. She taught us, you know, to be proper, to be humble, to don't be tacky, okay? Taught us manners. I say all that to say, once in a while, mother will say one of the dumbest things. She really will. She will say, after I've done something for them, maybe helped with lawn work, maybe went over to help, you know, fix something, lift something heavy, do something that I can do, Mom will say, "We owe you." On the way out, "We owe you." I think that's one of the dumbest things. No offense, Mom. I think it's ridiculous. Children owe parents. Young people, you owe your parents. You owe the ones who've helped bring you into this world, helped take care of you selflessly year after year. Children, you owe your parents, period. What do we owe God? What do we owe our Savior? Every praise we give, every sacrifice we make, every gift we offer, every time we serve God, we owe Him, and when we're done, we still owe Him, don't we? I mean, we don't ever get to the point where, "God, boy, I've really worked hard for you this week. Whew, I hope you appreciate it, God." It doesn't work that way. We owe and we still owe because we do it for a God who loved us first, who paid the highest price for our salvation. When you think about being a Christian, isn't it great? Because of the God that we have that we can serve. John 3:16, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. I just wanted to remind us today what a loving God we have, what a loving Savior we have. That's who we come to worship. That's who we live for. That's who our life is centered on. That's who we do things for. It's who we praise and worship. We're going to sing a song, I Gave My Life for Thee. It's a good song. It reminds us what God has given for us. Whatever we give, we love to give it. It'll never be enough, but it's a privilege to be able to serve God. So this morning, if you're here and there's something that you need, there may be one here this morning, and right now you're wrestling knowing that you're not ready to meet God. You've never had your sins washed away. You've never become a Christian, never put Christ on in baptism. If there's one here in that situation, let us take some time and rejoice with you while you become a child of God. Or if someone is needing prayers this morning, please come as we stand and sing.
I gave my life for thee, my brother.